Welcome to iRun Radio. Coming up, the fast-paced life of an elite middle-distance runner.
Life on the road's pretty hectic sometimes. You get a notice that you're going to race somewhere 2 or 3 days in advance, and then you got to jump on the next plane, go somewhere, race. You barely have any time to acclimatate to the new environment, and then the day after the race, you're off somewhere else on an early flight or an early train. It can get pretty tiring. It's
a legendary Boston champion whose love of running persists.
65 and quite healthy, quite active, and this makes me very happy to be outside in the cold. Even if it's cold, you know, it's great. The whiteness, running when it's cold, it's the best. You know, you're not slipping, and I love to run.
And braving the winter in Winnipeg.
If you're going to be a winter runner, you need to just commit to it and do it whether you feel like doing it or not, because some days you certainly don't. And then obviously gear is like beyond important. If you don't have the right kind of gear, you're going to freeze, because, you know, today the wind was minus 25 and I was really not all that cold by the time I got back.
On this edition of iRun Radio, the incredible Jacqueline Garreau, the Boston Marathon champion of 1980, who's still running and loving it at age 65. Canadian Olympian Charles-Philibert Thibodeau, who's maintaining an incredibly fast pace, and not just when he's racing. And during a cold week across much of Canada, we'll talk to a runner who has braved the elements in Winnipeg. Let's get things started now with the editor and general manager of iRun, Ben Kaplan. Hello, Ben.
Hey there.
How are you today?
Oh, feeling great, thank you.
It's been cold. Everybody's been bundling up and still getting out there. We had some snowy weather last weekend in Ottawa. We've had snow this week. And I do find that's the one time when I find it frustrating. Obviously, when it's slippery, you don't like to be out there. But when there's fresh snow on the ground, it's just harder to get traction when you're running, right?
It's interesting. I mean, some element of it I have been enjoying this week just for the pure novelty factor of the whole thing.
Okay.
Like, I've been running over the snow and things, and I feel like, you know, it changes my workout, and it definitely makes it more difficult when I'm going through the snow into the wind. You know, it definitely adds an element to it, so I think it's probably just a psychological trick that I'm
sure
trying to, like, lean into it, as opposed to, because there's no running away from it per se. But I have been, you know, and I run with a group, and the group is all sort of like, it adds an extra element of bonding to it, and I've always enjoyed the element of running where it does something to me where I feel like, you know what, I'm a tough guy.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like I'm a real wimp. You know, I can't fix the plumbing in the house. I can't do this. I can't do that. But, like, you know, people are like, wow, you're going running in that? It's like, yes, sir.
Yeah. I think you're right. We do like to feel tough, and running makes us feel tough. And when you battle the elements in addition to everything else, it's a badge of honor, you know? So,
yeah.
It's, but that's, you know, I usually feel that more after it's over than while it's going on, you know?
Yeah, and let's not get that confused. I'd much rather be doing this in Hawaii, like,
yeah,
on the beach with my shirt off. But, you know, since my wife's parents emigrated to Canada from Greece, I don't have the luxury of, you know, going up to Puerto Rico. I have to do this here. So, so it's been cold. It's been kind of cold, too, where I always think about it, where I don't think they've quite invented gloves to handle the what. Do your hands?
My hands are always cold.
Like,
yeah.
Always cold, right? And it's like I have a pair of gloves from each of the major companies, and across the board, none of them work.
Yeah, I wear two pairs of gloves at the same time, and even that doesn't quite do the job. Yeah.
We've disrupted hotels. We've disrupted taxi cabs. Can somebody please disrupt the running gloves?
There you go.
Yeah. Silicon Valley, let's get them.
There should be an app for that.
Yeah.
So when in doubt, blame it on your in-laws, right? I think that's what you're saying. Yeah, because
I tell them that constantly, too. Don't think I don't.
Yeah, it's their fault you're in Canada. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Hey, let's talk about Charles-Philibert Thibodeau, because he's going to be on the show today, and you shared with me this video of him, and it really depicts the life of an elite athlete. He's a middle distance runner, specialist in the 1500 meters, went to the Olympics, and he just bounces from event to event. And it's kind of like if it's Tuesday, I'm in Italy, you know, it's that kind of thing going on, right?
Yeah. He also looks like Justin Bieber. Now, we're a running magazine, not Us Weekly, so we don't
right.
need to, that doesn't matter, but it does add to the certain thing that it's like you feel like in the video that you're watching the Beatles. and he's very much, you know, it's a great look for the sport, and he's very upfront, and the director of that clip is very upfront about wanting to make track and field sexy and wanting to get people interested in the sport and showing these performers. You know, Canada's got this thing we always talk about the sort of star system here, you know, that it's not as developed in the States, where somebody like that in the States could be, you know, on Conan O'Brien's show or something like that.
Right.
You know, their platform is much larger. So I think that video, which I implore everybody to come watch on our website, is, you know, goes a long way towards saying, like, check out these guys. Look how awesome they are. And he's also a very nice, very fun-loving, very friendly, you know, very approachable and game athlete. He's a great representative of the sport and one of Quebec's finest.
Yeah, absolutely. And you got to check out that video, so please do so.
Yeah,
now,
very cool.
Speaking of one of Quebec's finest, Jacqueline Garreau is going to be on the show today, winner
wonderful.
Of the Boston Marathon. In the year, of course, where Rosie Ruiz cheated, took a shortcut to the finish line, and because of that, Jacqueline Garreau was denied the big finish of winning the marathon, but instead she has this very special place in Boston Marathon history, and she is always welcome back to the event, and she has this sort of iconic status now. And I know you and some others are bringing her to Toronto for an event coming up in a few weeks, and we're going to talk to her on the show today.
That's terrific. She's extraordinary. She's still very active in the community. Out in Quebec, she does a sort of running gait analysis thing, and she's, you know, she also is very approachable and very much part of the community.
She's lovely.
To do things. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. And to put her victory in perspective, you know, Canadians have never haven't done as well at Boston since. So
right.
She's really, you know, her performance has been, it hasn't been equaled in what, almost coming on 40 years now.
Yeah. Apart from, of course, a third place finish for Krista Duchesne last year. Let's not forget that.
Let's not forget that, but that is an interesting thing in that that was such a big deal and it was an extraordinary accomplishment and it was third place, you know.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Jacqueline took first place. So it's, you know, because she was the front page in the Globe, Krista, when she came in third. So just imagine what it would be if she came in first.
Yeah. Jacqueline Garreau, we profiled her in a book that I wrote about the history of the Ottawa Marathon a few years ago when it was the 40th anniversary of the marathon in Ottawa. And she has a great story about how she got into running. She was not an elite athlete in high school. She was a smoker, and a friend suggested that if she wanted to give up smoking, she'd take up running, and she did. And she ran a few marathons and started to discover she was kind of fast, and it went from there. Not unlike Krista's story in a way, because Krista did not start out as an elite runner either. Her first Boston Marathon, Krista's first Boston Marathon, she qualified just like you or me.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the beautiful things about this sport, that you just sort of, you know, you never know.
Yeah.
You never know.
Right on.
Somebody listening right now could take Boston in 3 years. You never know. Maybe me and you will, one of us, who, you know.
Yeah, we know it won't be me. Yeah. All right, good stuff, Ben. Thank you very much for being with us once again this week. We'll talk to you next week.
I appreciate your time, sir.
Ben Kaplan, iRun's editor and general manager. Coming up next, a Canadian Olympian who has been racing around the world.
iRun Radio is brought to you in part by New Balance Canada. New Balance is a proud sponsor of the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon, fitting elite Olympic marathoners like Reed Coolset, and also making shoes that are ideal for you.
Charles-Philibert Thibodeau competed for Canada in the 1500 meters at the 2016 Olympics in Rio. And as Ben mentioned earlier, his sponsor ASICS put together a video that shows just how fast-paced his life is. You can see that video at iRun.ca. Charles, thank you for joining us on iRun Radio.
Well, thanks for inviting me.
So let's talk about this video that we at iRun shared. A very cool video, very quick, but it captures life of an elite athlete on the road, bouncing from place to place, training, riding trains and cars and buses and planes and traveling the world to compete. It turned out very well.
Yeah, well, thank you. It was certainly an exciting project to be a part of. My good friend David Finley, which is a director, is not a runner himself, but being one of my best friends, he does know how hectic it tends to be on the circuit, right? So him being a filmmaker, he wanted to catch that and do some sort of short movie with it and turn it into something cool. And I guess it was good inspiration, and we're really happy with the result.
And do you feel it does capture what your life is like at times when you're competing and going from meet to meet?
It is. I mean, it feels action-packed because, of course, it's just not even a minute and a half. But life on the road is pretty hectic. Sometimes you get a notice that you're going to race somewhere 2 or 3 days in advance, and then you got to jump on the next plane, go somewhere, race. You barely have any time to acclimatate to the new environment, and then the day after the race you're off somewhere else on an early flight or an early train. I mean, it can get pretty tiring. It's quite the lifestyle, but I mean, it's not all year long. It's just these type of things only happen in the middle of the summer, so like in the thick of the track season. So by then you're not trying to train too hard, you're just during a peak, so most of your time is spent either traveling, resting, or racing. And I think the short film captures that energy and the experience.
Sure. But you must have to fit some training in around all of that, even if you're not training as hard because you're competing.
Of course, absolutely. I mean, there will be some meets in Europe where the organizers are going to make sure the stadiums will be open for the athletes to go and train between the races. But what most athletes do is they'll try to set base somewhere where there will be a good, easy access track and also a good good places to train, good trails and stuff like that. And most of the movie was filmed in Belgium, especially in Leuven. And Leuven is a hub in the summer for track athletes that are looking to race in Europe. Leuven being just 30 minutes of train of Brussels, and Brussels being central to any European, being central, but also having a pretty big airport, so it's easy to travel from there to any big European city for races and stuff like that. So that's where most of the movie was filmed, and you're right, like we... in between the races, we need to train, we need to have a good environment, and for most runners, it happens to be Leuven in Belgium.
Hmm. So tell me how your running is going these days.
Going well. I was really happy with how my season ended. My track season ended in September. Then I did take a break and then came back, and things were going really well, and I was planning to run cross-country nationals, but unfortunately I rolled my ankle, and that turned into a Achilles tendonitis problem.
Oh no.
Which I carried on from November to December, and I actually started running again on Christmas Day, so that was a nice Christmas present after 8 weeks of no running. So since then, things have been going really well, and now I'm back up to full training. And unfortunately, I'm skipping the indoor season just to make sure I don't try to skip or go too fast in my recovery or my way back to fitness. But right now, I'm running a lot, doing some solid workouts, and I'm just using this time now to build a good base for the spring and summer season.
And how much do you run? Because I think most amateur runners can relate to the athletes who are training for longer distances, because they run more than somebody who's just training to do their first marathon or something like that. But it's a similar kind of training schedule. But you're doing the 1500 meters and some shorter distances sometimes. So what does your training look like?
Well, one thing that's interesting about training for the 1500 meters, well, first of all, especially at this time of the year, there's not that much difference between training for the 1500 or the 10K.
Right.
So most of my training at the moment is just running a lot of easy volume. So I'll run between 120 and 150 kilometers per week.
Wow.
I'll have two harder sessions each week, two or three harder sessions each week, in which I will touch, sometimes it will be a more of an endurance-based session. So anything that's kind of like 10K pace or a half marathon pace. And sometimes it will be more specific to the 1500. So doing reps on the track that's right around 3K or 5K pace, and then finishing up the workout with some sprint reps over 200 meters or faster stuff. So we mix about both endurance and speed in those sessions. And you had it in there, two sessions of in the weight room per week. So that's it makes for a pretty busy training schedule.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, your workload is almost as much as a marathon runner in terms of the running itself, even though you're only running 1500 meters rather than 42 kilometers. So you're running just as much. It's fascinating.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting about the 1500 and up, so anything that's 1500 all the way to the marathon, you need a big aerobic base.
Right.
And, when you're running your best time over 1500 meters, the energy percentage you're going to use during that race, which will be roughly 3 minutes and a half, will be between 85 and 90% of your aerobic strength. So that means training for the 1500 is not that much different than the marathon, which is 100% aerobic. It's just that we got this 10%, which we got to focus more on speed in order to go at greater speed.
Right.
But both are very similar.
Okay. And do you do a lot of your running outside then?
I try to. It's been hard in Quebec City these last few weeks,
sure.
Be honest. It's almost like we get 2 days of minus 30 degrees, and then we get 2 days of snowstorm. I think we got close to 2 meters of snow and just snow falls in the last month.
Yeah.
So a lot of fresh snow, and then it gets really cold. So I've been trying to spend my time between, trying to go outside as much as I can. But I've been stuck with the treadmill lately, but also we have an underground tunnel system at Laval University, so we tend to do our runs in there.
You do your runs in the tunnels in the university?
Yeah, so there's
wow.
This underground tunnel system that goes through all the basically all the buildings on campus.
Yeah.
And if you go out and back to each building on campus, out and back, and then you go back to your starting point, you get I think we calculated it was right around 6K.
Okay.
So we do that kind of loop in underground tunnels, but it gets repetitive real quick. So I try not too much to go there. I split it with the treadmill and runs outside.
Yeah, but the treadmill can get pretty tedious, especially if you're doing a longer run.
Oh, yeah, but I think the treadmill is the only instance I will let myself listen to some music while I run.
Okay.
I never run with music whenever I'm outside, but when I'm on the treadmill, I allow myself to do so. So it's kind of a reward for going on the
right.
treadmill. I keep it this way.
I get it. So look, it's hard to believe it's been 2.5 years since the Olympics. When you reflect back on your Olympic experience, what are some of the memories that come to mind?
Oh, I mean, the Olympic experience is quite something. If I had to recall something, it it might not be the race itself, but more the whole atmosphere, like the whole Olympic atmosphere there is. And I'll explain myself. I mean, one day I was just in the village and we were in our in the Team Canada compound in our building, and I was just sitting on the balcony killing time because there's not much things to do the day before a race. When you're at the Olympics, you're not going to go out and enjoy the city and stuff like that. But just looking through the window and seeing the city far away, I was just thinking it's so crazy that a big city like Rio for the Olympics would put everything on hold for the athletes, like for myself, for my teammates, for all the athletes. Like it's a worldwide event, and it's once you're there, you realize how huge it is. And for me, that was the kind of the realization that made me go like, wow, the Olympics are pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because in itself, the race is just the same as it is at the World Championships. If you run at World Championships, it's three races, quarterfinals, semifinals, and finals. It's basically the same format at the Olympics, and you're running against the same people. Like, the race in itself is not that different. What is different about the Olympics is just the whole atmosphere there is and how you feel that the whole world is watching you. Like, maybe not myself, just myself, but like the whole world is watching track. The whole world is watching the Olympics. And I mean, a lot of people in Canada were watching track and watching my race. And I'm always impressed and surprised at how many people said they have watched my race live. And I think that's what makes it special in the end.
Yeah, that's a great perspective. Very interesting. Charles, I really appreciate you talking to us on iRun Radio, and I want to wish you the best as you continue to train. I hope you have a great season, and I hope we get the chance to speak again. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Mark. Have a great day.
That's Canadian Olympian Charles Philibert Thibodeau. Coming up next, the legendary Boston Marathon champion who's still running and loving every minute of it at age 65. iRun Radio is brought to you in part by New Balance Canada. New Balance is a proud sponsor of the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon, fitting elite Olympic marathoners like Reed Coolset, and also making shoes that are ideal for you. Welcome back to iRun Radio. We're on the air every Sunday morning on 1310 News in Ottawa, and you can also listen to the podcast, and you can check out past editions of the show at irun.ca. Just click on radio. Our next guest won the Boston Marathon in 1980. That was an infamous race because Rosie Ruiz was the first to cross the finish line, but it was later discovered that she took a shortcut. And that meant Canada's Jacqueline Garraud was named the winner. Jacqueline, it is great to talk to you again. Welcome to iRun Radio.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for calling me.
And how are you?
Well, so far so good. 65 and quite healthy, quite active, and not just running. I like to do many stuff. In winter, I love the cross-country skiing, boat style, classic, and skate. This makes me very happy to be outside in the cold, even if it's in. If it's cold, you know, it's great. The whiteness, often the sun, because sometimes when it's cold, it's the best because it's so sunny.
Right.
I love it.
Yeah.
Just getting the right clothes, no problem. Running when it's cold, it's the best. You know, you're not slipping. And I live in the country where I have hills, so if it's slippery, I can just go up. Deal where they put gravel and no problem. All kind of sport this summer is the bike, and I included recently more strength training because as you get older, it's not a bad thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Life is good. I have a son that's not living with us anymore. I miss him, but he's good and healthy as. In the sports like us, so can't complain.
And you still love to run, right?
I love to run. You know, I hope my knee will continue to keep up with me, you know, because, of course, I tore a meniscus when I was 43 on the ice. So it's been repaired, but also cartilage is, there's not enough cartilage. But I'm looking forward to do something for it. And hopefully I will live till over 100 with a good knee. That's my dream.
That is a good goal to have. And look, it's it's been almost 39 years since your Boston Marathon win in 1980. And, of course, after that, you went to the Olympics in 1984. When you look back on Boston in 1980, what are some of your memories? So they bring you back regularly. You're part of the Boston heritage, part of the Boston family. This really was a big moment in your life, obviously, and still is to this day.
Yes. You know, of course, it's the controversy, poor Rosie Ruiz, it is no, more sad for her than me, you know, understand that it's not fun to be at her place, you know, even if people say, oh, you miss the euphoria and all that. I didn't miss all that much, a little bit, and I tried in 83, and my dear friend Joan Benoit-Samuelson did the world record and so fast, and the year after she won the Olympics. So I love this Joan Benoit, but you know, she it would have been good if she would have been in Boston, so I could have win for real. But Boston is good memories for me. People are so nice, and I'm invited anytime I want to go, you know, in some way to run. And next year is the 40th. My 40th anniversary, that'd be nice, but that's why I'm looking to do something for my knee so I can train for marathon. If no, then that's okay, you know. I don't mind just going and not running a marathon anymore. You know, it's not the purpose of my life, but that could be also nice if I would have a great knee. You know, I have no other problem.
Yeah. So you say poor Rosie Ruiz, but some people would condemn her for what she did and what she took away from you, but it sounds like you don't feel the same way. Do you forgive her for what happened?
No, I think she's an unlucky girl. I don't think she's, you know, she might for people be guilty, but for me she's just not a girl. Not a girl, because this is not fun to be in that situation.
Yeah. So you have no hard feelings against her?
No, not at all.
And in a way,
I feel like, you know, I hope she's okay with that, and then you know she doesn't feel disturbed and all that. I hope that for her.
Right. And in a way, although you didn't have the moment of crossing the finish line as the champion and receiving the medal that day and so on, you kind of ended up with a special place in Boston history because of the events of 1980, right?
Oh, yes. And they invited me the week after, and they celebrated me the big way, you know.
Yeah.
And they did everything, you know, possible to make me feel like... you know, we're going to give you something good, you know. And 25 years later, they wanted me to cross the finish line in front of the people. So that's when, you know, that year I couldn't run a marathon because the training wasn't great. So I was like a queen, you know, waving through the crowd in the convertible. And at the end, I ran the last 100, and then they gave me the crown again and another medal. So I have two medals for Boston Marathon
right.
in 1980.
Yeah, nice.
And then the national anthem and all that. So it was nice. I'm always so well received there anytime I go. So it's people that did everything for me they could, you know.
Yeah, and so now there's a new generation of Canadian women who are running, and obviously we've sent women to the Olympics now in the marathon, and Krista Duchesne finished third in Boston.
Good.
Yeah, and so are you following all of that? Do you pay attention to some of the young women who are running today?
Yes, I do. You know, not that I put the time on, but I know there's a couple of girls who improve Sylvia Ruger and my time, so this is good, and we want more. I think we're capable, you know, we're in a country where we can have everything, you know, we live in abundance, but I'm sure we have abundance and talent too. It's just deciding to do it, really, the will and the practice, the perseverance and the good training. If we don't do too many mistakes, and that's the way we can get up there.
Yeah. Now, I want to go back to when you started running, because I remember you telling me when we spoke before, as I was researching this book about the history of the Ottawa Marathon, that this came about kind of innocently for you. You didn't necessarily think you were going to end up being a champion marathon runner.
No, not at all. And then also, you know, sometimes I feel like almost an imposter when people give me so much attention, because I was smoking at 21. I was a respiratory technician. So for me, it was like, yeah, I wasn't all that great person. But I decided to quit smoking, because as a respiratory technician, I knew it was not good. And, you know, people were really getting sick and dying with bad lungs. So I decided to run and jog, and I loved it. So I just kept running just because I love the feeling. I love probably the endorphin kick. So nicotine was no more necessary in my life.
Right.
And then I did that for 3 years, just running. And then finally I was running 3 hours with someone who was doing marathon. And I was not aware of a running competition at that time. And he said, why don't you run a marathon? And I look at him, well, yeah, what is that? So I did my first marathon in Île d'Orléans, a very nice place near Quebec. And it was very hot. Was not so fast, 3 hours 44, but no soreness the day after. And my second marathon was in Ottawa in 3:07. I was second. So I improved very quick. You know, I couldn't see, like, the book you wrote, that my form wasn't all that great in Ottawa in 78. But I improved the year after. It was already much better. So I said, wow, it's good. I know maybe I have some genetics. So by then, you know, I knew that if I focus, you know, I could get good results internationally at that time.
Wow, and certainly you did. Now, you're going to be in Toronto speaking at an event, and what message do you have when you have the opportunity to talk to runners? What is it that you like to share about your story, and what advice do you like to share with runners?
Well, you know, I like to share with runners, but also with everybody in some way. You know, if I have a chance, you know, my wisdom is just not with running anymore. It's just with every situation showed me, you know, how to react better after. So it's about running, but it's about living the best way to be in balance, feeling more and more in tune with your heart, with your soul, I could say, because the body will talk. The body will talk all the time. We're not in balance. So I think my lecture is really total well-being. You know, it's balance for total well-being. Well-being.
Yeah.
So I think that's the message I'd like to say more and more and more.
Well, it's a great message, and you're a great example of it, and it is a pleasure to speak to you again. You are a legend in our sport, and I'm really glad that you joined us today. Thank you, Jacqueline.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to be there. It would be fun.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Okay, thank you.
That is Boston Marathon champion Jacqueline Garreau. Coming up next, how to survive the winters in Winnipeg. iRun Radio is brought to you in part by New Balance Canada. New Balance is a proud sponsor of the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon, fitting elite Olympic marathoners like Reed Coolset, and also making shoes that are ideal for you. We've had some frosty temperatures here in Ottawa and in Toronto, in Montreal, and many other places in Canada. But of course, that's the kind of weather that Winnipeg experiences very often. Kirsten Parker is a runner who works for the Manitoba Marathon. Kirsten, welcome to iRun Radio.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
So we've had some awful winter weather in Ottawa in the past couple of weeks. And I know people in Toronto have been complaining about the weather as well, but you are in Winnipeg, where you get this kind of weather all the time, even worse than the winter weather in Ottawa, or more severe anyway, depending on how you look at it. So tell me what winter running is like in Winnipeg.
Well, today it was about minus 16 outside with a wind chill of about minus 25, which I would say is pretty average, if not a little bit warmer than normal for this time of year. And certainly tomorrow our weather is going to be even colder. We're looking at minus 30 without the wind, and then up to minus 45 with the wind. So it's it gets pretty chilly here in January and February, that's for sure.
Yeah, and you shared a picture in which your face was just basically covered with frost, right?
That is true. And actually, that was a bit of a warmer day. That was actually probably about minus 18, minus 20 that day. So a little bit of a warmer day for
yeah.
us.
Minus 18, a warmer day.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So how do you cope with that as a runner?
Well, I think that, first of all, you just have to decide whether you're going to do it or not do it, right? If you're going to be a winter runner, you need to just commit to it. And do it whether you feel like doing it or not, because some days you certainly don't. And then obviously gear is like beyond important. If you don't have the right kind of gear, you're going to freeze. Because, you know, today the wind was minus 25 and I was really not all that cold by the time I got back. So that's pretty important as well.
Yeah. And can you describe the circumstances of that particular run where you took that picture at the end with your lashes covered in ice?
Well, that was a night run, which I don't do a ton of in the winter. I try and run during the day, obviously, because you're going to take advantage of the sunshine a bit. But it's just a matter of, you know, when the air is that cold, it's just coming back on your face, and it can get a little frosty. You have to make sure that you don't close your eyes for too long and let them get stuck together. But and the balaclava, I think, is part of that too, because you're breathing your own warm air back up into your face, so that'll frost you up a little bit as well.
Yeah, I find that's the case when you cover your mouth, the air goes up and then it creates this sort of this collision between warm air and cold air on the front of your face,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and today, like, I ran with sunglasses because it is sunny today, so I ran with sunglasses and a balaclava, and you have to kind of pull the balaclava down a little bit more so your sunglasses don't frost up as well. So, and another thing I do also is I run with a bit of called Dermatone on my face, a little bit of that. It's to help to avoid frostbite, because certainly there have been a number of people that I know here that have had some frostbite issues. So making sure that all those bits are covered up and making sure that your skin's properly protected, for sure, super important.
Yeah. So why, Kirsten, why do you run in the winter?
Well, I would say that because I heard somebody describe the treadmill as I'm not a treadmill person. I'd rather be outside. And really, it's not as much fun to stay inside. And if we have to deal with the weather as we do here in Winnipeg, you might as well just embrace it, right? I mean, you got to get into it or you'll fall for seasonal depression a little bit more and all that kind of thing. So,
yeah. So and do you not feel tough when you've confronted it and do you not feel like you've beaten the elements?
Well, that's pretty true, I would say, because, you know, you're out there running and people are looking. That day, actually, when I took that picture, I was out running and my face was all frosted over. And there was a few people that were out walking, and I certainly, I got some stares, but, you know, it's certainly makes you feel like there are a few things you can't manage, as running in general can do for you, though.
So. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about your running background, how you got started, what are some of the events you've done, and so on.
I started running a dozen or so years ago, I guess, and Manitoba Marathon was my first half. I've run a lot of half, probably 15 15-ish, 15-20 halves, and one full. I've only done one full, but I've been running, pretty consistently. I try and run most days during the week and just sort of keep that fitness up and drag my son in with me when I get a chance. I've taken him for a couple of 5Ks. He's 8, and that adds to the fun, I would say, for me.
So he runs the 5K with you?
He does, yeah. He's run a couple of 5Ks this year. He's 8, and he ran the last one, and I said, I think we're going to sign you up for a 10K this year.
Wow.
I think that he's up for the next level challenge. Although I did take him out running with me in the winter last year, and he told me it was torture and that he was never going to do it again, but he's up for running the rest of the year, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Good for you for inspiring your son. And and obviously, you've got a busy life with family and other commitments. So how do you squeeze in the time for running?
Honestly, the thing that works the best for me is running during the day, running on my lunch hour. I am fortunate to work at a workplace that certainly encourages me to be active and encourages me to reach for my goals as far as running goes. And so I can fit in, about a four miler comfortably on a lunch hour and still come back and have a couple minutes to eat as well. And so for me, that works really well to be able to just do it, fit it in during my day. And then when I get home at night, I can be with my family. I can be with my son and work those long runs into the weekends. So
good for you. That's the way you got to do it. You got to carve out that time.
Exactly.
Yeah. And,
totally. I definitely am one of those people too, that I feel like, if you don't schedule it, then your commitment is lessened to it. And so, finding the ability that for long runs, I schedule them, and that's not negotiable time. And I am fortunate in some ways to have a husband who doesn't run. So, he's more than willing to let me go when I want to schedule it. So I'm
right
pretty
on.
Lucky that way.
Yeah. A supportive partner is key as well, for sure.
No kidding.
And tell us a little more about the Manitoba Marathon, which you've participated in a few times.
Yeah, the Manitoba Marathon is it's the largest mass participation event in Manitoba, actually. So it's about 10,000 runners over 6 events on race day, we actually see a lot more international runners and other provincial runners coming to run us now because we have a really flat course. We have like almost zero elevation, which is really awesome. And it's friendly Manitoba, so we love that too.
Yeah, and it's not in January. Let's make that clear.
It is not in January. We run every year on Father's Day. So this past year the weather was awesome. We sometimes it's a little bit warmer, sometimes it's a little bit cooler, but it tends to be pretty okay in June there. So it's pretty good date.
Yeah. Well, Kirsten, it's great to talk to you. We got a kick out of that picture when we saw you sharing it. And, we have lots of respect for everybody in Winnipeg who's running in the minus 45 wind chill. We have nothing to complain about in places where the wind chill is only minus 35. So all the best to you as you continue your training in the depths of winter. And thank you very much for being on the show with us today.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for having me.
That's Kirsten Parker of the Manitoba Marathon. Coming up on next week's show, we're going to talk about the incredible Japanese marathoner and Boston champion who is coming to Vancouver, and a cancer survivor who has defied the odds and raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for research. I hope you can join us next week on iRun Radio. Thank you for listening. Have a great week.